Good song to sing just before we get started tonight. Proverbs chapter number 3. I'm still nervous about this Anchor Club, and I'm still, you know, just concerned about how it all goes. And, you know, there's just a lot of what ifs. I will tell you this, I'm very thankful for the very warm reception I've received from the principal at the school, and just the way they blocked out parking for us and asked us if it was okay and apologized for not having enough parking. And it's just a blessing. I mean, in spite of everything that we hear, and there is a lot of negative, I know, but it's a blessing to be able to walk around in the foyer of the elementary and asking kids if they're going on the van to church and not have anybody giving me a hard time for it, and that's a blessing. So, and then she wants to be very accommodating, and so praise the Lord for that. Oh, Tim Brooke came tonight, too. He was here, and so that form got signed today, and then River was on her cell phone trying to get her mom's permission to come as well, so anyhow, praise the Lord for that. So hopefully we'll see some more in the future, and we'll need that extra vehicle, but praise the Lord for the opportunity. But there's so many things that could go wrong. You know what I mean? There's a child who could get left behind. Somebody get hurt. You know, there's just a lot of things, and so we do need the adult personnel and the teenagers to help. And appreciate each one, and hopefully you are praying about this. And so I do appreciate just the opportunity to pray and to talk to the Lord about our needs. And as I get older, and I guess I'm ashamed to say that this isn't something I've been doing all my life and haven't been doing as much as I should. But you know, I see a lot of Bluetooth. I see kids with these little plugs in their ears. It must be hooked to something. I see people with watches, and it must be hooked to something. But you know what? But besides Bluetooth, we have God, and the Bible tells us that we can pray without ceasing. You know, some people can listen to music without ceasing now, and talk without ceasing. It seems like, but how about praying without ceasing, and learning to pray for everything, and to ask God to help us with all those things that we worry instead. And as we sang tonight, why worry when you can pray? You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, of all the people in the world that's had Bluetooth for thousands of years, we are the ones that have had access to God. And it doesn't matter where we're at. If we're right with the Lord, we can talk to him and we can go to him in prayer. And so Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Now, I know you've heard me talk about this before, but it's on my mind, it's on my heart, I want to talk about it again tonight. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We should learn to just pray and talk to the Lord more and more and more, and about more things. Maybe part of my problem is that as in my younger years and just in my own ability to try to make things happen, in my own ability to try to force things to happen, and I don't want to scale that back and ask God to make it happen. You understand? To ask God to take care of it, and to not try to just force it to happen and manipulate it to come to pass, but rather to ask God to work behind the scenes when I see a problem. And my family can testify this very well, and some of you probably can testify it too. I see a problem, and I want to deal with it head on, nose to nose, face to face. But you know what? It usually is not as well received as if I ask God, "Would you help that person?" I usually mess it up. I usually say the wrong thing, chew them out, whatever it might be. Would you and pray for them that would get changed and that would get fixed? And then what's really neat is when you see God do it, and he does it better than you can do it, and they get their problem fixed a whole lot better than I would ever. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to get you to understand what I'm trying to say is that we need to just ask God for things a whole lot more than we do. You know? We just need to ask him for those issues and those things in our life and those little things, the big things. And it's not so much because all those trivial things are a big deal, but rather than that, God's a big deal, and we need to take advantage of it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy... There's the key. In all thy ways... acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust, that idea there is confidence and rest. You know, we sang trust and obey. When we really do that, when we really trust and obey, somebody said it this way, when you trust and obey, then it's trust and okay. You know? And to learn to trust him. If you're not saved, that's where it starts. You have to trust in the Lord with all your heart. What did Philip say to the Ethiopian? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. So trusting in the Lord with all our heart, it starts with our salvation. And yet it seems like we're not really trusting him with all our heart, with all our ways, and let him take care of it. All means all, and trust him for the big things and also the small things. I'll just tell you what I'm going to say to my children later tonight after church. We're going to go look at a car. Make sure you pray about that car and pray whether or not that's the right decision or the wrong decision before we go even look at it, and ask God to show you. Now, I think car is kind of a big decision, a purchase of a car. But whether it's big or small in the eyes of somebody else, it should be something big enough that we want to ask God for his opinion on. You know, if God's got a car over here for us to have down the road and we buy this one instead, we're just not right. And he's not going to bless that. And so we need to pray about what God would have us to do and what he wants us to do. The big things, and, you know, health and eternity and things like that. But there's small things, little stuff. Each day, every decision, each moment, our time spent, what we do, where we go. And let him be our advisor in all things with all our heart. I think part of our problem is we're not preparing our heart. I like what was said there. There's a story that where two different farmers were both praying for rain, and yet only one farmer was out plowing his fields and preparing for the rain. And I think it's important that we actually prepare our heart. We want God to do something, but we're not really preparing our heart. If only one farmer's out there preparing as if the idea that God really is going to send the rain, but the other one's just in there praying for rain, but he's not getting ready for the rain, you know, which one's showing the faith and the trust? And so preparing our heart, you know, there's a lot in the Bible about preparing our heart. Look with me in Ezra chapter 7. Ezra, and God used Ezra and Nehemiah, and Ezra chapter number 7, and verse number 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. You want your pastor to be prepared before he gets up and speaks, don't you? You want me to be prepared before I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. But how about you? How about preparing your heart? What about preparing your heart before you come to church? You know why? You know why we start out with singing in church? Do you know singing is not so everybody can finish texting? Singing is not so all the late people can get here. Singing is so that your heart can get rotated a little bit, so that you can start reflecting and focusing on who it needs to be focused on. Okay? Preparing our heart is about getting all the other junk and all the other things so that we can be focused and thinking about the words and thinking about what God, and honestly, truly, it should even be happening before we get to church. Because I'm a preacher, I probably think about this more than you do, but when it's church day, there's just certain things I can't do. There's just certain places I can't go. There's just certain things I have to wear when I go to church because I just got to feel, you know, I got to have my heart right. I got to be in the focus. Now, obviously, if you're coming off of work, that's what it is. But the point is that preparing your heart, if you're going to prepare your fields for rain, you're going to get a whole lot more out of the rain. If you rototill your field before it rains, your field will get a whole lot more out of the rain than if you leave it hard and let it just run off, right? That's why we got to prepare your heart so that when you do come to into the house of the Lord, so that when you do read your Bible, so that when your heart's already prepared to hear it and receive it. Look at some other preparations. 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Samuel says, if you're going to turn with all your heart, then you're going to have to get rid of your idols. You're going to have to get rid of the junk. Hey, folks, let's be honest. A lot of us can't trust the Lord with all our heart. Our heart's got some other stuff in it. We got some stuff that's got to go. I mean, these are God's people. He's talking to Israel. And he's saying to Israel, you got to get rid of these gods. We got gods. We all have gods in our life and things that take up our time and take up our focus. And prepare your heart, he said. Look with me in 2 Chronicles 12. And also chapter 19. 2 Chronicles 12. Verse 13 and 14. So King Rehoboam, now who is that? That's the son of Solomon. Remember Rehoboam? Rehoboam was, for being the son of the wisest man in the world, he sure didn't fall close to the tree, you know what I mean? Rehoboam, when he was told, look, we want you to slack off a little bit, he went and sought the counsel of the old men and decided to forsake their counsel and went after the counsel of his friends, the younger men. And there's a lesson there about who we listen to and our peers. But it says in verse 13, so King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned, for Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there, and his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess, and he did evil. He didn't do good, he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Not because he didn't know better. I'm sure Rehoboam had the best education you could get in Israel at that time. He was the king's son, right? He probably had access to all the information and all the word of God that there was to have access to. It's not that he didn't know. It's just that he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Sometimes we come into church and we are not focused on God. Let's just be honest. We're just not ready. We're just not where we ought to be. And it's not just coming to church. It's all the time. And I go back to that story of the two farmers. The one farmer said, well, I want God to bless. I want him to send a rain. I need the rain. But instead of just asking for the rain, I'm going to get ready for when it does. And so we should prepare our hearts so that when he does give us what we need, we're ready to receive it rather than being hard-hearted. Look at chapter 19. Chapter 19, 2 Chronicles 19:1, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem, and Jehu, the son of Hananiah the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. God was still lenient because he did prepare his heart to seek the Lord. There's just some good habits that I want to encourage you to have when it comes to your heart. Your heart is something that you need to guard. You need to recognize the need for it to be soft at all times. Here's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about my heart being hard more than anything. I'm concerned about my heart being calloused and just going through the motions and just doing what I do and just showing up because I have to show up and doing this because I have to. No, I want my heart to be soft and tender. I want to be able to pray for the names of the children that are at Anchor Club and pray for the names of the people that were in church on Sunday and the people that are in church tonight, to pray for them individually by name and to call them out. Last night, our family sat around and we talk too much late at night. We're waiting for everybody to finally get home. It's 10 o'clock before the last person walks in the door and we end up talking. But I pulled out a sheet of paper. You know what it was? It was all the names of the kids who came last week to church. And I called out their names. And then I asked our children to pick out a name. Pray for that person. Why? We need to be praying for them. If we want God to send the rain, we got to be ready. We got to be praying for them. We got to be praying for them. And so I handed out a new list to all of our Sunday school teachers and junior church teachers so that they have the names. And we need to be praying for those names and praying for those families and praying for those people. And maybe some of those people, maybe in times past they said they'd never come again. Well, you know what? That doesn't mean they won't. Right? And we need to pray for them. Pray for God to do a miracle and work behind the scenes. He's got a way better rototiller than I do. I mean, he knows how to rototill their dirt and rototill their soil and work them up better than I can. We just need to pray and let our hearts be soft and prepare our heart for the rain, prepare our heart for what God has for us. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with all thine heart. Another thing about our heart is purpose. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says that when Daniel and his friends were challenged to eat the king's meat and to drink the king's wine, which I'm sure was totally against their law. I'm sure they were going to have to eat things that was against the law in their Bible. They were going to have to drink wine that was against their law in the Bible. I'm sure there were some things that they knew that they weren't supposed to do. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. You have to purpose in your heart. Listen, young people, if you're going to be a pure teenager, if you're going to be chaste and holy and clean, you have to purpose in your heart. It has to be purposed. You have to do it on purpose. There's places you have to not go on purpose. There's other places that you will go on purpose. You have to prepare your heart. You have to purpose your heart. You can't just say, God, here's my heart. Now it's your job. No, you got to purpose it. You're the one that controls your heart. I mean, you're the one that takes it where it goes and shows it what it sees. And you allow things in your eyes and your ears. Those are things you can protect yourself with if you be careful of what you're listening to. I like sports. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, sports radio is just garbage. I mean, the sports characters are garbage, so they talk about the garbage on the sports radio. It's garbage. It's filth. It's trash. Right now on sports radio, they're talking about some guy who's a loser, who's going to get paid millions of dollars to play football, and he's under investigation for a rape. I don't need to hear that. That doesn't need to be in my ears. It doesn't need to be in your ears. Yeah, but it's sports. Who cares? It's sin. The football game by itself is not necessarily a sin, but there's so much filth that goes with it, see? And so be careful, all this... Well, I don't listen to rock music, and there's probably some in here that do listen to rock music. But I don't listen to a lot of talk radio. It's garbage. And we need to be careful what we're listening to, what we're feeding our heart, what we're feeding our minds, what we're allowing in our ears, because it will sink into your heart. The Bible says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, we all have sin. None of us are perfect. It doesn't say in that verse, if I'm not perfect, God will not hear me. That's not what it says. It says, if I regard. The word regard means if I know it's there, if I'm aware of it, and I don't deal with it, I'm regarding it. There's a lot of stuff right now I'm not even aware that I'm a sinner in. And you too. That's not the stuff I need to be worried about. It's the stuff I already know. It says, therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. There's already stuff you know you're not right about. That's the stuff that's sin. And if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. You understand? This is important. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And that's pretty much what the world thinks. You know, follow your heart, sweetheart. And puppy love, and oh, I'm in love, and blah, 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 and whatever your heart, whatever you know, and a lot of parents allow their children to do whatever they want to do and just follow. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The truth is, I don't even know my own heart very well. The truth is, I need God to direct my heart because I don't even understand it. I know what I'm supposed to listen to and not listen to. I know what I'm supposed to be and not be. I know some of those things. But my heart is deceitful. My heart is easily proud and selfish, lifted up, and yours is too. We have to learn, guard our heart, allow our heart to be soft, prepared, purposed, and clean. And it says, lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's what that's saying here. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You know, it says in Isaiah 55, God's ways are not our ways. It's not man's ways. God's ways are just different. God's ways are just not normal as we think of normal, as in the majority. But we need to learn to delight in his way. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 9 and chapter 10. Jeremiah, I mentioned 17:9. Go to 9:23. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. If the Lord continues to lead me in that direction, on Sunday I'll preach about success, about being successful. You know what being successful is? Knowing God and following him. Not riches, not wisdom, not might, but knowing him and following him. Look at chapter 10, verse 23. Chapter 10, 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It is not in man of himself. You hear that a lot. Humanism and just self-reliance. Don't lean on your own understanding. I know that there's probably teenagers in here that are pretty smart. When I was your age, I was pretty smart too. As I got older, I got dumber. And I lost my hair and my brains at the same time. But listen, when you're a teenager, you know everything. I used to be one. I knew everything. But as you get older, you find out that actually maybe God knows more than you. And maybe even other adults in your life know more than you. Usually what happens, it isn't usually something that you just kind of figure out on your own until you fall flat on your face and you really stumble into it. That's when all of a sudden you realize you don't know as much as you thought you did. Listen, it's all about leaning on your own understanding. That's what it is. And learning to trust in the Lord instead. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. You know, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, David is confessing his sin. I acknowledge my sin. My sin is ever before me. Against thee have I sinned and confess my sin. Acknowledging him with all our ways. That goes back to that regarding our sin, regarding it in our heart. You just can't really get right with him unless you're going to see what he's seeing. I mean, you know what it is. You go to God, you're trying to pray, you're trying to talk to him, and he's just quiet. And you finally look at him, and his eyes go over, and he points, and he says, right there, that's my problem, right there. Or he says, that's your problem. You know, and you know that he knows what the sin is. You know it's there, because you know he knows. And so we don't want to talk to him, but in all our ways, acknowledge him. And so we can't have a close walk with him, because if we have a close walk with him, he's going to talk about that sin again, and we don't want to talk about that sin again. So we don't want a close walk with him. It's what you need, though. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. See, you got to get right with him. I wish this microphone would get right with him. God will not bless sin and rebellion. He just won't. I mentioned Rehoboam. He was just a lousy king. He did evil. But you know what? His grandfather was opposite. His great-grandfather was a great man. His name was David. But David committed lots of sin. David committed adultery and murder and some other sin that are public and cost people's lives. But the difference between Rehoboam and David is not how much one of them sinned versus the other one. The difference between Rehoboam and David is that David acknowledged his sin and called it what it is and got right with God. But I don't ever see Rehoboam doing that, do you? I don't ever see Rehoboam confessing his sin to God or getting right. But David was a bigger sinner, I guess you could say. However, David was also walking with God because he got right with the Lord. He confessed it and got right with God. He didn't lean to his own understanding. In all his ways, he acknowledged him, and God was directing his path. And that's the last part. And he shall direct thy paths. That's what I need. That's what I need. I need God to direct my paths. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next year for sure. I just have some ideas. But I know for sure he knows. I know what he wants me to do. I know what he wants my kids to do. I know what he wants them to do. I know he knows, but I don't necessarily know. I know he knows what they're supposed to do. So here's what I got to do. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I got to walk day by day. I got to make sure I'm on the right path. And then just keep it on low beam necessarily, and then brights when I can, low beam. And I just need lamp to my feet, light to my path, trusting in the Lord. Genesis chapter 6, Noah, go build an ark. You know, that we think, oh yeah, just go build an ark. Well, but for Noah, that was a big deal. I mean, huge. How about Genesis 22, Abraham, go kill your son. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. 1 Kings 17, woman, you feed me before you feed your own son. Matthew chapter 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put God first. Yeah, but if I put him first, I won't have any fun. You don't believe him. You're not trusting, and that's why you're not obeying. You trust, and then you'll obey. Put him first, and he'll direct your paths. A little boy gives up his lunch, and 5,000 people get fed. You know what? I'm learning this. All things really do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Matthew chapter 6, if you have an eye that is double-minded and not single-focused, you won't be able to think straight. But if you are focused, single-minded, I'm guessing Gunner closes one eye when he shoots. Is that true? You don't. See, that's your problem. But do you use both eyes to focus? I doubt it. You use one eye. Everybody I think that I know of that focuses uses one eye. If you try to use two eyes, you're not going to be able to see what you got to see. You can't focus straight. And focusing with one eye is that single focus. If you're double eye, you can't possibly focus on one thing if both eyes are trying to focus at the same time. It just won't work. Hannah tries to shoot deer that way, that we never know where it's going. But it says, lay up your treasure in heaven instead on the earth. You see, if you try to have two treasures, you're double-minded. And so you got to lay up your treasure in heaven and just single focus. Seek him first, and he'll add all these things to you. There's a lot of things I want. Wow, I want a new microphone. There's a lot of things I want, but I got to let him decide when I'm supposed to get them and just focus on what he wants me to do and seek him first. Back in Proverbs chapter 3, there's a lot of command and condition. There's command and condition, promise and blessing. You do this, I'll do this. Look at these. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. All right? You obey me, son, and you'll live a long life. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Know mercy and truth. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Another one, promise and blessing. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Those are all the command part. And then he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and get rid of the evil. Pastor talks about not touching one another. As the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:1, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Oh, I'm smarter than the pastor. I'm smarter than my parents. I can get physical and I won't be in any trouble. Listen, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. By the way, you realize it's really not about you anyway. It's about honoring God. It's not whether or not you're safe or not. It's whether or not you're honoring God with your life. That's what it's really about. And then verse 8 says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It's actually healthy to obey God. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Hey, if you're a teenager, are you supposed to obey that verse or is that just for adults? I look at some of these teenagers, they got more money than I do. Do you honor the Lord with your substance? Do you honor him? Do you tithe to him like you should and seek him first and put him first in your life? With the first fruits of your increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You see, when I was your age, that's when I was tithing. In fact, when I was your age, I started giving 20%. You say, why? Well, think about it. When you're a teenager and you make $200 a year, 20% is not that much. You might as well start when you don't have much to lose. So that by the time I got to be an adult, I had the habit. Now, I'm not going to tell you what my percentage is now because that's not the important thing. But the important thing is that you develop a habit, and it shouldn't just be a habit, but you develop that in your life, and you just get to the point where you're just honoring the Lord, putting him first. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I want to honor God so that he'll take care of me when I need it. I want to put him first. And it's really not so much because I want him to just give me back, but I just know that he'll take care of me better than I can take care of myself. And I can say amen to that. He has. Verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Oh, how come God never gives those people a spanking? You ought to be thankful you're getting a spanking. You know I've said this before, but my dad never did care if my friends in the neighborhood had a rip in their jeans or had a hole in their shoe. That wasn't his responsibility. He didn't go out and make sure they got new pants or new shoes. But my dad took care of me when he could. At the same token, my dad never did spank any of my friends on the street that I lived on, but he spanked me a whole lot. Why? Because he cared more about me. We need to learn to appreciate the spankings. If you're a teenager and you're saying, well, I don't understand why those teenagers never get in trouble, or why, it's not because they got it better. It's because they ain't got a dad in heaven that cares about them. The Bible says they're bastards and not sons. Okay? You should be thankful that you get in trouble for sin. That's a good thing. And you ought to be scared if you're not getting in trouble for sin. That's a bad indication. Okay? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son in whom he receiveth. He loves his children. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. I want to be happy. Don't you want to be happy? The more you learn to trust in the Lord, the more you trust and obey, you start to realize something. I mentioned tithing a minute ago, but there's just a lot of things we could apply this to. I wrote this down years ago. Let me just read it to you. Before, when you first started, it was hard to do the easy things. I mean, it was just hard to do the easy thing. It was hard to just go to church. It was hard to just tithe. It was hard to just say no to sin or say no to peer pressure. Seemed like it was just hard to do the easy things. But now, as you grow and as you mature and as you get right with the Lord and you learn and you start to build faith muscles, now it's easy to do the hard things. Now you're doing stuff and it's easy for you because you've been doing it for so long, it doesn't seem hard anymore. And pretty soon people are looking up to you and wondering, how do you do that? How do you make it? How does that happen? Well, it starts now by trusting in the Lord with all your heart, letting him develop those muscles and that maturity in your life. I want to be blessed, and I want you to be blessed, and I want to stop doing it in my own flesh. I want to stop the manipulation and the making it happen, and I want to just pray and ask God to do it. That's what I want. And I hope you want that too, that you want God to really be the one that you go to. And you trust him and you prepare your heart for him and you purpose your heart for him and you clean out that heart for him. You desire to just be what he wants you to be, and You trust him and you lean not on your own understanding. And you acknowledge him in all your ways and let him direct your paths. And I know this, he will. He will. And then the neat thing about it all, here's what I think is the most special part about it. When it all starts to work, when it all starts to actually come together and it's beautiful and it's successful, you know what you say? Not me. God did it. You just know where it came from. You know it wasn't you. You don't take the glory. See, the problem with all that manipulation and forcing things to happen is then you take the credit. And that doesn't work. And God doesn't even bless that because he doesn't want that to work. I think of Moses. You know, he's 40 years old. He's trying to take it into his own hands, this Egyptian problem. He's 80 years old. And you can see him trusting God a lot more than in his 80s. And God's doing and giving the victory. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed tonight. Dear God, thank you for the Bible. And thank you for opportunity to trust you. There's people in this room that know you. They know about you. They know your word. But are we trusting you? Are we really acknowledging you? Are we regarding iniquity in our heart, knowing it's not right? Knowing we owe you or maybe someone else a confession. We need to talk to that individual and ask for that forgiveness and seek that restoration. Maybe there's a sin that we're hiding and we're fooling around or we're doing things behind the eyesight of other people, but you see it all. Lord, if we're regarding iniquity in our heart, you're not going to listen. And we need you to listen. We need you to be there. And I pray that you'd help each heart, each person, each young person, old person alike to be able to trust you with all our heart, that every part of it would be prepared and purposed and completely turned over to you, clean, not leaning to our own understanding. Help us to be humble people before you, and may you direct our paths. And thank you when you do and what you've already done. And then help us to give you the praise and the glory for it. To take nothing of ourselves, but rather to just point to you and let our light shine for your glory. Help that to be the case here. In Jesus' name, amen.